Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Uh-oh.
Oh, good morning. I can't even fake it, man. I can't even fake it. So, let me start with the good, because I can't come right on the air and start to bitch and moan. All right? So, the good morning in the good of the good morning is Jay Wright. We're at 10:30. We're going to talk to Jay. I'm so excited. I'm hoping that we can get some good college ball in. The season starts tomorrow. Nova plays BC. And Villanova is really good. Now, they're ranked third. They got a real shot to win it. They got a real shot to win this thing. So, I'm real excited to talk to Jay. I love Jay. Jay's a great basketball person. Great basketball mind and a great coach. And I love the guy. I do. I love talking ball. I fell in love with Daryl Morey yesterday. I mean, you know, he's phenomenal. All right. Daryl Morey is so great. And it was just fun to, and I know it's all honeymoon stuff, but it was great just to, you know, he's very real and he's a Cleveland guy, which means he's a real guy because those people are real people. He'll fit in real well here. I'm extremely excited. We got the Union tonight, so we got a game that matters. It's Union and New England, and Jimmy Curtin owns New England 5-0, so that's great. All right. Now, I'm watching Goff last night. And you're welcome for the Rams, by the way, Junis. I told you Rams yesterday. I watched Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and I almost threw up. And hey, look, listen, they were fantastic, and the game plan was amazing, and Goff was accurate, and you know, other than a pick here, and he was. He was terrific. He was great against the blitz. He was great on third downs. I mean, he was sensational. The play calling was marvelous. You know, they ran a tunnel screen right before halftime that Woods breaks, and it sets up a field goal. Like, the precision of what happened, right? They got no timeouts. There's 18 seconds. And they run this tunnel screen. And Woods thinks he can score. He winds up getting tackled. They rush up to the line, clock it with a second. No penalty, nothing. Clock it, field goal. And they were getting the ball to start the second half. And that whole game, listen, that Tampa team is a great team. I mean, think about that for a second. Think about that. You got Godwin and Evans and Antonio Brown. You got Brait and Gronk as tight ends. You got Ronald Jones and Fournette as running backs and Brady as your quarterback. I mean, I mean that's a Madden All-Star team, right? And the Rams go down. The Rams defense is phenomenal. I mean, you look at those corners and the physicality and the beauty in which they play. It was great football last night. It was a great football game Sunday night. It was a great 4 o'clock game between the Colts and Packers. And I'm watching, but I'm honed in on McVay and Goff. And then I turn around and I'm realizing, like, you know, all my thoughts are going to Wentz and Peterson. And I'm going, my God, I can't believe that in 2017, you know, when they go out there and it's the battle, right? That fateful day when Wentz gets hurt and his whole life takes a sharp left. That day when they go out and beat the Rams and you go, wow, what's it going to be like for years to come? And the years to come are wretched. And the Rams are sensational. It's just absolutely sad. Sad. And yesterday, Peterson, during his news conference, says, what is it about this town? It's always about the coach and the quarterback. Well, duh. When the coach is a horrible play caller and design maker, and his offense is pedestrian, and the quarterback won't throw it, his mechanics are all screwed up. Do you know, I had a friend of mine in the league, in the NFL, who said to me, man, Wentz might be better off being a linebacker. I was like, what? Well, what? Yeah. I mean, I go back to that line that Tunis played. Ha, ha, man, he's going to be great as long as you don't screw him up. As long as you don't screw him up. And I turn around on a Monday night watching Goff and McVay, and I'm jealous. And I see competency from the coach and the quarterback, and I got none here. There's none. There's no competency. Oh, yeah, maybe I should roll him out more. I didn't think about it. I mean, it's been all... I look at the Rams' offense, then you look at the Eagles' offense. Go ahead. Tell me that the design is better here. I dare you. I don't care about the execution of the quarterback. Quarterback is a flat-out mess. And I need some pride out of him. I need some pride. I don't want to hear about working hard and this and that and every other excuses, because here's the problem with the Eagles right now is that they don't think it's a problem. I hear nothing but excuses. I mean, Doug was filled with excuses yesterday. Every week, Wentz gives you excuses. Yo, guys. Yeah, move the pocket. I don't know. How many times are you going to say it? And you never do it. Hey, Carson, how many times do you say you're going to put the work in? Well, it doesn't seem like you do. Throw the damn ball. Get rid of the ball. Holding the ball for 3.5 seconds in the end zone. What, are you having an end zone party? What are you doing? Get rid of the ball. And it's hard not to be a little bit sour after that Monday night game when you just see competency. I'm not a child, all right? And I look at things through two hats. One, a hat for you, which is I channel my 12-year-old inner self, my Philadelphia sports fan, that I love these teams. And I do. I generally, as an adult male, I generally love these teams. They've been a constant and a companion in my life, my entire life. I love them. I do. I make no bones about it. I make no apologies. I was born and raised here. I left. I came back after about a dozen years being in New York and Chicago, and I came back home because I love home. All right? It's where I'm from. I love it. I love the people. I love the sports teams, and it's a dream. Now, the other aspect is you look at it through the prism of a sports commentator that is educated and knows people throughout most of the sports, right? NFL, obviously, NBA, obviously, Major League Baseball. I know some hockey people, but not as much as I do the other sports, right? I've become a soccer fan, but I'm no expert, all right? So that's kind of my resume. And I look at what we see for you guys, and it's not good enough. It's just not. It needs to be fixed, and they need to address it. That's an issue. When they fail to address it, and they lash out at the messenger, which is really the conduit to you, the fans. And it's why it bugs me when Peterson acts the way he does in a news conference. Now, you could say it's a news conference, what's the big deal? But the point is that it's a conduit to you. So he's speaking to you that way. And I understand he's frustrated. And I think he's a fine guy. And I get he's frustrated. But here's my biggest issue, is he's got no answers, right? You see it week in, week out. He can't fix the quarterback. Now, the quarterback may be unfixable. He may be a lemon, right? He take it out of the dealership, and it's great, and drive. All of a sudden, there's something wrong with it, and it can never be fixed. And he may be a lemon. He may be. But I don't see anything that's trying to help him, because I don't think he can. I don't think he can come in and help him. I think the only system he can run is his own West Coast system, and that's it. He can't do what McVay does. He doesn't have the capacity to do what McVay does. He just doesn't. It's fine. It's not, you know, there are coaches that win with the system. But I don't think he's the guy that can do it. I never did. And he won the Super Bowl, and I'm grateful, because I put my other hat on, and I thank you, and I want to hug him, because that was one of the greatest days of my life, other than my kids being born. It was one of the greatest days of my life. But this is just horrible. Good morning, Shunas.
Hey, what's up? How you feeling today?
I'm a little sour.
Yeah.
Be real.
You enjoyed Doug's son last night? I'm kidding. No, it's good game plan yesterday. And McVay's been great all season long. You know, we saw it in week two when, what did they do the entire game? They moved the pocket. They did misdirection. We talk about Carson Wentz's regression. I mean, what do we say about Doug? I mean, Doug Peterson looks like he doesn't have a clue. I haven't been able to defend him all season long. The guy's been a buffoon all season long when it comes to game plan. Carson's a mess, so whatever game plan he does have, it's not like Carson Wentz is executing. And Doug loves to go to that, right? How many times have we heard in this press conference, oh, well, it's about us coaching better, but it's also about the players executing. Well, clearly, whatever your game plan is, it's not working. And maybe your quarterback just can't execute it, and maybe you should work to his strengths. And my God, am I tired of having to bring up this point. After the Baltimore game, you and I were at the Jaws golf course, right? He was doing the Jaws Youth Celebrity Golf Tournament, and we did the show from there, Blue Heron Pines. And we listened to Monday's press conference. It was a beautiful 60-degree day. You know, I was enjoying it. And I have to hear him say, yeah, we know that Carson is better up-tempo, but we can't do up-tempo all game. Yeah, you're right, Doug. But if you know that is part of his strength, why would you not try to implement that into his offense? When you're asked now 2 weeks in a row, hey, Doug, Carson seems to be a little bit better outside the pocket. And he goes, yeah, I can dial it up more. And then there was one design rollout the entire game out of 41 dropbacks.
Dude, this is not just 2 weeks. This is every week of the season.
No, you're right.
No, and it's not just you and I and whatever. It's everybody.
Yeah.
Like, listen, nobody knows. Nobody's some genius football guy. First of all, it's the most overrated thing in the world. You know, listen, Sean McVay's a really, really sharp coach who was born and bred inside the game. I mean, that's just what he was.
Right.
What he is. You know, but again, it's still football, all right? So, whatever. I'm not saying you or I know more than anybody else. Drew in Willingboro was on the line, or Joe in Mayfair, or whatever it is. You know, you follow sport, you know what you're talking about.
Right.
We could disagree in style and opinion, but that's what it is. We've been talking, these people have been calling every week about moving the pocket. Look, everybody can see that Wentz's mechanics are crap.
Yeah.
Right? His mechanics are terrible. Everybody can see that the only time he makes plays is when he's on the move. The only time he's accurate is when he's on the move. The only time he sees guys open, apparently, is either when they go empty, which is five wide, which he's always liked, or when he's on the move. So here's the deal, right? Why are you trying to fix him? You got to call games and maybe give him some confidence. Otherwise, flush him and go play Hurts and let's see what he's got.
Right. Especially when Doug Peterson loves to keep on saying, we have a lot to play for. How many times have we heard that yesterday? We have a lot to play for. We're still in first place. He must have answered five questions with that same answer. We have a lot to play for, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you have a lot to play for, that means you got to try and win. And if your quarterback plays better a specific way, why wouldn't you just, you know, appeal to that? That's all. We're not, I love, you always say it, Ant, I love it. We're not asking you to try to split an atom here, right? Carson Wentz, better outside of pocket. Hey, design play where Carson Wentz is outside of pocket. Boom. That's all. You didn't just create anything. You didn't find a cure to a disease. You didn't find the cure to COVID. No. It tells you that rolling outside the pocket has benefited Carson Wentz this season. We saw it in the very first drive of the 2020 season against the Washington football team when they went downfield and scored a touchdown. And then they didn't do it the rest of the game. And what happened? The offense stalled, and the Eagles lost the game. We saw it against the Rams. We've seen it week in and week out. And I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. I love the caller Joe who calls in and defends Doug Peterson to no end. But I don't know where you can come up with a defense argument at this point, other than the plays that he calls Carson needs to execute. That's the only defense.
Listen, quarterback stinks.
Yeah, he's awful. All right?
He's been horrid. He's gun shy. He's messed up. He's a complete mess. I mean, I agree. But if you think that it's all the quarterback's fault, and I just don't understand the logic of defending the guy who's above him, right? I've never understood this logic, and we've had this argument before, this debate. You know, if there's something wrong with a company, I'm blaming the CEO, all right? The CEO has to be blamed if the company is failing, because maybe the CEO is not putting his employees and his managers and his directors. So if Wentz is the director of the offense, maybe he needs to be put in a different position. Maybe he needs another game plan. Again, it is always about the coach and the quarterback, because that's the nature of the sport.
Right.
It's always about the nature of the quarterback. It's like we have Jay coming up at 10:30. And here's a guy, forget he's won two national championships and is one of the elite coaches in the country. But before Jay wins, and of course, there are always detractors and, you know, people that you got to win. And that's always true. You knew that he was a good coach.
Right.
There's a competency thing. Like, I keep talking about it like it's, you know, I use the word presidential. You just go, that guy knows, he knows what he's doing.
Right. It's like when people complain about Doc Rivers and only winning one championship and blowing, what was it, 3-1 leads, you still look at him and go, he's still a good coach.
Exactly.
Like, that guy gets it.
Exactly. You go, Doc Rivers, that guy knows what he's doing, right? Knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Same thing, like, Brett was lovable.
Yes.
Right? He was lovable. But it was apparent that he just couldn't win.
Pressure situations.
That he couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And again, he's a bright man. I'm saying, you know, Doug was, or Brett was some dummy. Brett was a bright guy. He couldn't figure that piece of it out.
Yeah, I mean, and you see
he was a great dude. He just couldn't figure it out. I mean, you know, hey, if somehow he's, like, if I had a team and he was the, like, if somebody hired him and they had a team that could play his system, he could win. But you need players to actually play his system.
Right.
If they don't have, same thing with Doug. If you don't have the players that can execute what he's going to call and just his system, then they can't win, these guys. It takes a special coach to win it in certain other ways. Or teach your players and figure out whether it's grow a bomber or grow a quarterback.
Yes.
By the way, Andrew, the other thing that's got me upset today, what are the Phillies doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to get left in the dust.
Yeah. They're a disgrace. You know, you talk about Doug Peterson, what he says to the media is kind of what he says to the fan base. The Phillies are just sticking up two middle fingers. Nah, more like eight because it's both of Middleton's, it's both of McPhail's, both of Ned Rice, and both of Klentak, because he's still getting paid and it's still his job. They're just holding up eight middle fingers at you.
How could John Middleton allow this?
I don't know.
I mean, he's such a prideful man. I mean, how does he not call a press conference and say, guys, listen, I'm sorry that we're in this predicament.
No, instead he said Andy McPhail's a borderline Hall of Famer.
I know.
That's what he does.
I know.
And then he says he would not have made the Real Muto trade had he known he wouldn't resign here.
I mean, and you look at the Mets and you go, look at Cohen, what he's going to do.
He's got a lot of money.
Yeah. But guess what? It's not like, you know, Middleton's got a company saying.
It's like $2 billion, isn't
it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
Come on. All right. Here's the deal. We're going to talk to Jay. Coming up, get a little insight into Villanova basketball. College basketball begins tomorrow night. I'm excited, man. Get some good hoops. So we'll talk to Jay, who is the greatest. And then we're going to get back to all your calls. Jeff McLean a little bit later on, who was very good yesterday. It is Cuz Radio with Chunis. Just getting started on a Tuesday. Let's talk a little Primo Hoagies. And nothing better. I think tomorrow night is a Primo night. I get to watch the Cats. So I think tomorrow night, because if we're going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner, you want to go sandwiches, right? You want to go a little bit of the easy later fare. Don't cook the night before Thanksgiving, you know, when you want to eat dinner. It's the perfect time to have Primos. See, Primos is perfect for like a Saturday, right? As a Saturday afternoon treat for dinner, right? It's perfect for game day. Is there anything better than game day food? Like, game day food is no fork food. And that's Primo's, man. Primo's the greatest. They make those rolls, which is the absolute key to the sandwich, right there in store every day, every couple hours. They're doing it. It's absolutely fabulous. What the best treat in the world. I've always thought that ever since my grandmother used to go get them. After school, we come back and boom, they had the Primos. It's the best. Don't forget, right now, it's Primos gift card extravaganza. Buy a $25 gift card, receive a $5 bonus card. Buy a $100 gift card, get a $25 bonus card. So you get Primos for giving Primos. All Primo locations participating in Primo Cares also do the Round It Up program, where you round up your purchase to the next dollar, provide gifts to the children of our communities throughout the Delaware Valley Children's Charities, because Primo cares. Find your location at PrimoHoagies.com. Just remember what I always say. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up momentarily, we're going to talk to Jay. You know, it's funny. Basketball is my happy place. It's interesting the relationship that we have individually with all the sports, right? And it's funny. You know, we had the NBA draft last week, right? The whole thing. Yeah, I talked to Daryl Moore yesterday, and I'm so excited to talk to Jay because basketball has always been my happy place. And here he is. Look at this. Right on time. He's the best. The head coach of Villanova and one of the great coaches of all time, the great Jay Wright on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jay!
My man, how are you, Ant?
I miss you. How you doing, brother? Everything all right?
I miss you, man. I do, man. I just hear you. I haven't seen you in so long, man.
I know. This pandemic's awful.
Thank God for radio, though, man. You guys keep us all going, man.
You okay? How's the family? Everybody okay?
Yeah, man, we're good. But family's good, and we're up I'm separated from them. We're up in Mohegan Sun right now.
Yeah, for the big tournament.
Getting ready for our game. So missing Thanksgiving, which bums me out. But psyched to be playing, and hopefully never got tested. So we tested last night. That's why I was like a minute or two late. We did test again this morning. And interesting logistics up here, man. They're doing a good job of they must have like 15, 16 teams up here. It's incredible.
I saw how big the tournament is. I mean, it's wild. How's this whole challenge been for you? I mean, dating back to last year when we all got really sideswiped with this thing and we had to cancel the tournament and the whole thing. How's this been for you and you as a fatherly figure to the guys and you as the coach?
I think every coach in every sport will tell you this is probably been the most challenging time of their career because of what you mentioned. You know, we got young guys that, you know, are healthy. They want to play. You know, they're looking at you like, you know, fix this. You know, we came here to play for you. You know, that's what we want to do. So you want to do that. And then you also, you know, they're warriors. You know, they'll go out there. They're not as concerned about their health. Some of them are, but you have to be protective. And then, you know, you're coaching completely differently. You know, we play Wednesday night against Boston College. I just can't wait to play the game just to see what we look like because we didn't have our summer workouts. We got hit with some positive cases in the fall, so we missed like 23 days and we had injuries. So, and I'm sure everybody's dealing with it. So you don't go through your normal preseason and we don't have any scrimmages. We couldn't bring referees in because they have to test before they come in. So I have no idea what our team's going to look like against the competition. I can't wait to see.
And it's such a challenge. And you mentioned it with the kids because, you know, it's different. Look, in the NFL and in the NBA, you know, you have adults. It's a business. I mean, you're dealing with kids and, you know, you look at college football and you look at all the games being postponed and all the positive tests and you got a feeling it's you're going to feel your way through at least, you know, the winter until hopefully a vaccine's in place. Then you can bubble up for the tournament. But, you know, it's almost like every day is going to be a new day or a new challenge.
Yeah, I think the NCAA making the decision this early to have a bubble, most likely in Indianapolis for the tournament was really smart because it does at least give everybody, you know, a clear understanding that there will be a solid, successful ending to this. But if you watch college football, you know, that it's going to be similar and we're an indoor sport, you know, so the difference in football, I don't know how they do it, but you know, they can have a center test positive and they say he's socially distanced from a wideout. So the whole team isn't shut down, but in basketball, if one guy goes down, the whole team goes down.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot of stoppages as we're seeing already.
Yeah. Duke, Gardner Webb. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, our situation up here with Baylor and you're going to have a lot of it. It's just going to be managing your way through that, hoping you can get to the NCAA tournament. And at least the NCAA tournament, knowing that, you know, everyone that's in it is going to go there and stay there, much like the NBA bubble. When you get eliminated, you leave, but you stay all the way through if you advance.
What do you tell the kids? What's your protocol been? Because, again, I mean, you are dealing with kids, right? And kids are going to be kids, man. You want to go out. I don't blame them a little bit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your protocol with the guys?
You know, we tried it different ways when we came in. We you know, we tried to just you know, put them on their honor, and they really try to do a good job. You know, you're on a college campus. It's not they don't even have to be out partying or anything. You know, you're confined. You know, you're in apartments and dorms and classrooms, and I think everybody on our campus did a really good job, but it's still a virus, you know.
Yeah.
And And so we had a couple guys get it. And we experienced not just the 14-day quarantine, but guys test positive at different rates, and it gets staggered. So it goes, and then we had guys get hurt when they came back because they've been out so long. So everyone saw the effect of it, and all the guys agreed, you know, we've got to create our own bubble. And that's what we've done. You know, our guys basically go from their apartments to the data center for practice. All their classes are online. And we go in the center and pavilion to work out sometimes, and that's it. You know, they get all their meals, at the center and pavilion, and they take them back to the rooms. It's that part of it is sad for these guys, but it's amazing how much they love to play and what they will do to play. My wife Patty comes up with this term, COVID blessings, like just to see all the positive things that come out of it, you know, that you see how much these kids love to play, what they're willing to sacrifice. It's impressive. It's really impressive to me.
That's awesome. Talking to the great Jay Wright on the Comcast Business Hotline. And what's exciting is what you guys can be. I know you're still trying to figure that out, but man, This could be a special year. I mean, you guys, you're loaded, and how are you kind of looking at it? And you've always been a master at this and getting the kids through and almost arcing them toward March. How excited are you with this crew?
I love this crew. We got a good crew. We got a couple injuries that are going to affect us. Demir Cosby Roundtree is really had serious problems with his shin. So, I mean, he's out for a while. Mm. And Brian Antoine hurt his shoulder again. He's out for a while. And neither one of them will dress for opening night, but haven't practiced all fall. But that's the depth of this team. We still have a lot of really good players. We'll miss Demir's leadership as a senior and his size up front. And Brian was, you know, has got incredible potential, but the guys we do have, you know, the leadership of Colin Gillespie, and he's playing great. And
he's a great kid, man. I love him. He must be a coach's dream.
He is. He really is. Like, there are times when the guys have to, they just have to go work out on their own. And he runs a practice as well as we do, man. He just keeps everybody. It's incredible. It is really incredible. And he doesn't want to be a coach. I tell him he'd be an incredible coach. But also Jermaine Samuels, another senior who looks really good. And then a couple of our sophomores who started last year, Jeremiah Robinson Earls, had a good off season. He went home to Kansas City for the summer and worked out on his own. He did a great job because we couldn't work out with the guys this summer. He came back, really strong and looking good, skill wise, and a lot of young guys, like Eric Dixon, the young guy we redshirted, starting to come on. Chris Arch, Chris Arch of Diacono is starting to come on. So we got some good
depth. How about Justin? How about Justin Moore?
Justin Moore has been tough. He and Colin, we had a 23-day quarantine. Then when we came back, he and Colin suffered serious injuries and were out for a while. So those guys have only been practicing for like a week and a half. But you can see they're going to be good. We got to stay healthy, in both ways. We got to stay healthy, not with getting the virus, and we got to stay healthy, with how you're practicing. Because you don't want to. We're not close to where we would be at this time of the year in terms of being prepared. But I got to think the other teams aren't either. So it's going to be interesting to see where we are and how we all can progress during this season.
Do you almost let them? Is it more of a free, as far as the style? Now, you've always been allowing them a certain freedom in how they play, but is it even more so almost like you almost have to almost see how the pieces fit and how they play so you give them more latitude before you kind of hone in on where you want to be?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Anthony. We do that normally in the beginning of a season, which sometimes hurts us, especially when we have younger teams. Like last year, you know, we opened up at Ohio State, and we give the guys a lot of freedom to begin the year. We want to see what they can do. We want to see how people defend them. You know, we want to give them the opportunity to use the skills they worked on the entire offseason. And we did that at Ohio State last year, and we got blown out. You know, we showed we weren't ready. But we give them the chance, you know, and we have a little bit more experienced team this year, which is good. So we can give them that freedom, but it's something that we do every year. Because you never know how other teams are going to look at you and how they're going to decide to play you. So you see that early in the year and then you adjust, you know, as the season goes on.
Jay, we're real excited. It's going to be, strange at times, but it could be one of the most special seasons. And, you know, I think we all need it too. I think sports, one thing during this pandemic is that sports is so important to us. You know, we need sports. The kids need to play it, and we need to be a part of it.
Yeah, man. I tell you, I learned that, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, I really started thinking, man, this shows you how unimportant sports are. You know, like the first responders, the doctors,
right,
the nurse, and these people, like that's what's important. You know, yeah, what they do. And I did, and I really thought about that, you know, and you see people dying and losing their jobs, and you're like, man, sports is, what we do is so inconsequential, you know. And I did a Zoom with these doctors and these nurses, and I said that, and they said, do you realize that, like, when we're in a hospital, in an emergency room all for 12 hours, like, when we get out, we want to watch you guys. Like, that's how we clear our minds. Like, that's healthy for us. And I was like, wow, I didn't think about it that way. So I think we've learned to value everything we have in our society. You know, our first responders and all the people, the doctors and nurses and everybody's on the front line.
Oh my God, they're doing God's work without a doubt. But you know what? You know, I'm sorry, but I believe this is so important. I read a story, Jay, a while ago. This is, and it stuck with me. It was in, like, Esquire. It was about a guy who suffered from really bad depression. And he watched, the only thing that would make him happy was watching Big 12 basketball on ESPN and hearing Brent Musburger. It was Brent Musburger's voice calling a game, and it provided comfort, right? And that's such an important piece. You know, again, yes, you're so right. I mean, the first responders and all these doctors that are truly doing God's work and saving lives. But, you know, our mental well-being is at risk, right? I mean, everything's upside down and all. And, man, the comfort and solace that I could sit tomorrow night and watch Villanova, Boston College, you know, I mean, that's a big deal. It feels like everything else is good in the world.
I have learned that. I really have. I kind of lost a little faith in that right at the beginning of the pandemic. But the way people have explained that to me, while we were out, especially Villanova people are saying, hey, we have the guys, so, you know, keep them healthy. Like, we need this. You know, we need this over the winter, you know, and especially the Northeast, you know, in the winter.
Yeah.
And I realized I probably do that with the Eagles.
It's like,
during our season, I'm so, you know, stressed out about what we're doing that I can take 4 hours and listen to it, you know, watch an Eagles game and just get me out of it. You know, I don't think about us. You know, or listen to you guys talking about it, I'm thinking like, oh man,
watching us moan about it.
I got problems. They got problems too, my poor boys.
I love you, brother. Listen, please be safe, all right? And God bless you. It's going to be an interesting season and hopefully a really rewarding one.
Thanks, my man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, brother.
God bless you and the family, brother. Talk to you soon. Too, there he is, the great Jay Wright on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.